Well, good morning, Trinity Covenant Church. My name is Austin Bailey. I am one of the pastors here, and we are so glad that you are joining us this morning. I know that God has been filling my heart in this room, and I know that God is with you present where you sit. So know that. Believe it and be changed by the truth. There was something that happened very interesting in the first 2 years while I was here. We had decided that really our main goals over the first couple of years was to build relationships and communities. And the thing that we started to notice was that this community and relationships really built or centered around events, retreats, conferences, and so we kind of moved in that direction to kind of get kids excited. And I remember over the first 2 years, after we'd like promo event, launch it, I'd follow up with some students and be, you know, wondering if they were going. And I'd reach out to them, you know, over text and be like, hey, this is kind of how the conversation would go. Hey, how's it going? Did you hear about said event? Are you going to go? And, you know, you're waiting for that dot, 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 and you're like, okay. And they're like, I don't know. And you're like, how do you not know? Like, great event. You there means great event. And I was like, I would really love it if you'd come. I would personally love to spend time to grow together, and I know everybody else would. So are you sure? Do you want to come? Are you planning on it? And then the next day, it'd be like, again, dot, dot, dot. I don't know. And I'm like, I just put my heart out there. Like, I would love for you to come. And they're like, meh, Austin, no. And so I would just be like, deflated. And I ask one more time. I'd be like, are you sure you want to go? Let's go. Let's do this together. And this is the classic answer. I don't know. Who's going? And I'm just like, Jesus? Right? Like, and it was so funny. Like, every event that would go the same way. And I remember, like, 2 years ago. So it's been about 2 years developing the community. I think we've gotten something going. And I was talking to this one student. It's a pretty big event. I was like, hey, I really think you could get a lot from going. I even started putting that there's a lot of people going, without naming names. I'm going. And she was like, I don't know. And she said, who's going? And I just felt, I was like, just left it there. I was going to let it sit. And then the next morning, you know, I had built enough of a relationship with the student that I decided to play a little game. And I texted her in the morning, and I was like, I was in my quiet time last night, and Jesus and I were talking, and he wants to know if you want to go to heaven. And dot, 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 and I was like, didn't miss a beat. Like, it didn't take her time to think about it. She responded, I don't know. Who's going? And it was just that moment. I was like, are you, like, it was perfect. I laughed so hard. It took me a lot longer to respond than her. She's a lot more witty than I am. And I just laughed so hard. And so every, like, so often, I'll text this student. I'll be like, hey, Jesus wants to know if you want to go to heaven. And she'd be like, I don't know. Who's going? And it became this joke that was just, it's funny, and we still do it today. But even now that I know it's a joke, I think sometimes when we say things like that, that are funny, joking, trying to relieve the tension, there's a little bit of truth within that saying. Like, it's a little bit truth within in the joke. And the truth is like, you know what? I got something good going on here. For me to, like, risk this, to give up this, to pay something to go somewhere else that I don't know, like, I'm not assured of its goodness, like, I'll just take and settle for this. And that is, like, the truth that we get in this text of the lost coin, that Jesus is talking and eating with some sinners, and he's talking with the Pharisees, right? He's talking with the religious people and looking on these sinners, and he's inviting them into the opportunity to move and conform their heart towards God. What he's saying is to the Pharisees, to the religious, is don't miss out on what God takes the opportunity to find. Absolutely don't miss out on the opportunity to find what was lost, to join me while I'm sitting with sinners and taking the opportunity that was lost and to bring them into a place of foundness like you already are. And so this is the place where we get it, right? This is where we get into the text. You know, Jesus, you know, tells a woman, already losing it, right? But he's got 10 coins, right? It says that the woman, using a parable, and Jesus uses parables often to do this thing. He's saying, this is where your heart, thoughts, and actions are, and this is who God his thoughts, his heart, his actions are. And what we're wanting to do is to clarify how we as disciples who maybe are lost, some are found, need to move and conform our heart to the heart of God. And so he uses this parable. Super simple, right? But I think it has so much depth for us as disciples. So, right, she has 10 coins. Right? All of a sudden, she has 10 coins, and then all of a sudden, we don't say why, but all of a sudden, she loses one. She loses one, and she has 9 now. And this is where I think we get in the text till we kind of just go over it, right? Skim through, try to get to the end, and we don't sit on this because we don't let our heart sit with what Jesus is saying, because I think he says a little bit softer and slower. But he goes, you have 9 coins now. This woman now has gone to bed. And she has 9 coins. And some of you are like, man, she's just going to sleep through that because she's got 9, right? 9's pretty good. 9 out of 10, that's 90%. I know that some students at the end of the year, they're looking at a 90% and say, I'll take an A minus. I'll take an A minus for sure. I know that some of their parents are like, oh my gosh, Jesus, I will take an A minus for my kid, right? Like in this time of corona and pandemic, distance learning, our parents are like, yep, I'll take it. I will be satisfied with an A minus. Students are like, I'll be ecstatic with an A minus. And we as human beings, we don't like deal with that. Our heart's kind of been conformed to this place of A minus-ness. Where 90% of something is really good. 90% of a return on our investment is really good. We'll take 90%, right? And our heart are turned to this place where we get a 90% way of living, and God's saying, no, 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 no. Could you imagine a 90% content God? Could you imagine a God who was content with 90%? That he'd give you 90% love. That he'd give you 90% forgiveness. 90% peace. 90% grace. But not all of it. Oh, there goes another one. Maybe 80%. But 90%. Like, think about this for a second. A God who is 90%, who's content with 90%, wants to give you a 90% peace, but a 10% anxiety, right? Or 90% forgiveness and grace, but 10% shame. Like, what type of God are we worshiping that would be, like, okay with contentness of 90% versus 100? That he'd be okay, and some of us are like, that's fine. I'd actually take 90% peace and 10% anxiety right now because that's an improvement of where I'm at. But we're not about a God that just wants a little bit more. God is not content to be a 90% God. He is not settling. He is not content. God is not content. He seeks. He is one who seeks after the one that is lost. That he's saying, I am not content with the 90 that are here. That's the Pharisees are saying, hey, we're here. Why aren't you talking to us, investing in us? We're the 90%. And he's saying that I'm not content with just you. That's why I'm eating with these sinners. He's saying, come with me. Don't miss out on what I take the opportunity to find. Do not miss out on what God takes the opportunity to find. See, the text is really a lot simpler than we make it out to be. That while we make it out to be percentages, that's our heart, that's our motivation, that's where we're going. Lay that 90% right down there. Is that God is not content. He's a seeker. And he's a seeker of the other, the one that is lost. Right? Because think about this. If we had a 90% God who was content to be without the one, you know what the crazy thing is about it? Is that he's saying, you and I were once the one. And could you imagine a God that was content without us? But the thing is, now that you're in, we get this place of like, no, I wanted to be in. I couldn't be without God. I couldn't do it without God. I need to be with him in the time. But then when we get in the group, we forget our lostness. We forget that we were once one of the others, and we're like content with 90%. But God is one of addition and subtraction. He says it's not about percentage. It's actually about addition and subtraction. It's that you have now 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10, you are no longer whole. You have lost one, and you've lost a piece of your wholeness. You've lost a piece that makes up your completeness. It says like this, that in we are made in the image of God, and without the one that's a loss, that we don't fully reflect the image of God without the one. That you, when you were lost, that it was an incomplete picture of who God is and the completeness of the body, that we needed one more, that God is not one of percentages, but he's about completeness and whole. He's not about 9 out of 10, he's at a 10 out of 10, and that one is the one that needs to come back in order to be complete. That God, you and me, we're once lost, and instead of being content with what he already has, he says, actually, you know what, body of Christ, my brothers and sisters, the one that have given their lives to be a follower and disciple of me, you are actually not complete without that one. You are actually not complete about that one that is lost. And so join me. Don't miss out on the opportunity to find what was lost. Don't miss out. Absolutely don't miss out. And that's the place where we are talking about God's heart and our heart as disciples. When we become followers of him, it's not that God's heart comes and fits into our heart. It's that our heart is conformed and transformed to the heart of God, and that we do not settle with just what we have now, but we want what God wants. That our heart is transformed because we know that God is not about percentages, it's not about being content without, that he wants that. And so when we deal with that understanding of our hearts and our heads, understand, then what do we do? When we understand the why of how our heart needs to be transformed into God's, why God's heart is after this and why we're after that, and why we need to move and conform ourselves. And this is where I love that the passage takes off. It takes off. It says, don't miss out. Don't miss out on the opportunity. But no, the opportunity is going to cost you something. The opportunity is absolutely going to cost you something. And he tells it in the text, that it texts in three things, that the woman has three things that it's going to cost her. It's going to cost her resources. It's going to cost her effort. And it's going to cost her time. And that as disciples, though Jesus is the one who saves, that we begin to look and participate and partake in his mission, that it's going to take as disciples our resources, our effort, and our time to seek what was lost. That those opportunities come to find what was lost is going to take your resources, your effort, and your time. See, the woman, I think it's great. She's lost the coin, and in the middle of the night, her heart is so overwhelmed that she gets up, she turns on a lamp to go find what was lost. She actually started to use a resource to burn in the lamp in order to find something of value. She was using up a resource to find another resource. She was using resources to find what was lost. So what are you using with your resources that are finding what is lost, that spurs you up into the middle of the night, that you are willing to use your resources in order to find something of worth, that you're to take what is worth to you, sacrifice it, pay that cost in order to find something of immense value to God? What are you using with your resources? Where are you going? So not only does she light a lamp, but then it's going to cost effort, right? It says that she swept the house. And I don't know if you swept the house before for something that you've lost. It's not like, you know, I swept the other day with the vacuum, right? And it's mindless, right? You got some music going on, you're dancing, right? Like, and you're just vacuuming. Seeking after and sweeping for something that is lost, it's like moving things. It's moving that big bookshelf over. It's moving the desk. It's getting on your hands and knees and looking under the nooks and crannies and pulling things out in order to find what was lost. Searching for something lost means looking in places that are not in plain sight. Right? Because if it was in plain sight and you could see it, it's not lost. But when something is lost, it means that you must sweep the house. You must do the diligent effort to go and to look, to sit up here and say, I don't just see something. So you got to lift up to see what is underneath, what you can't see. So where are you in your life today? Where are you in your life today? You are looking in places that you can't see for something that is lost. That you're actually putting effort to move the things that you that are hiding in order to find something. What are you looking for? What are you looking for that's going to require you to move and use effort and energy to find something? And then lastly, she lit a lamp. She swept. And then she searched carefully. And I think this is where we understand the moment of what it means to search for what is lost. Is that not only are you going to turn on a lamp, you've made the decision to use your resources, that you've made the decision, the intentional decision, to put forth effort, to move things in your house, to move things in your life in order to find what was lost. But it is not a turn on the lamp, sweep, and then 30 seconds later you found it. Those things that are really lost take time to find. Like if you ever like lost keys or wallet or something like that and you're looking for it, you look in something like this and you don't just lift it up, put it down. You lift it up and you take a couple scans, 1, 2, 3, looking at different angles, trying to see if you can find what you lost. Which means for us in modern day, like that means what is the thing that is going to take time? What is the thing that we got to move away from or pay the cost? I mean, I've said this before. I think we have to look at our calendar and say, man, we are such a culture of filling our space in our calendar because it makes us feel important, that we got places to go. But by being so full, we don't have the intentional time to seek after what was lost. We actually don't have time. So what we need to do is look at our day and say, how am I going to be intentional in my time to seek after what was lost? What am I going to look with in my week? What am I going to look towards and create space and time in there to intentionally seek after what is lost? What am I going to do in my month? What am I going to do in my year? And then what am I going to do in my decade and in my life to create space and time to look and be and take the opportunity to find what was lost? Opportunity will take you time. The investment takes time, the diligence of looking hard and the effort and taking time to find it. Means you have to clear out some things in your life in order to take that opportunity. You can't just enter that opportunity into already full schedule. You got to pull some stuff out that gives space and time for you to seek after what was lost. And here it is. And you might be saying, Austin, I can't pay the cost. It's going to cost me more than I'm willing to pay. That was the response to our students to say, there's something good here, and the cost that I have to pay to be a part of something that I don't know is going to be good, I'm not willing to pay that. But that's the thing about Jesus in this short passage. He doesn't end right there to say, man, we have to seek what was lost, and this is what it costs you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is what it costs you. Okay, now go. Right? Because then we'd be like, no, absolutely not. I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up to pay the cost for something that's not going to benefit me. And that's why I got to keep going in the text. And a lot of times I listen to a lot of music to help me kind of get into the text and the mode. And I came over a song that I just picked up this last week, and it's been in my head. I've been putting it on repeat. And I want you to hear these lyrics because it matches up with the text. It says this: I remember when you called my name. I remember when my heart said yes. I will never forget the morning you were singing over me like, yeah, 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 yeah. That when we went out and seeking to find what was lost, and we sit here and we find it, and we put it back together with the tin, Jesus is like, yeah. And he's like, I was singing over you like, yeah. Neighbors, friends, come here, sing with me. Sing over them. Yeah. Come on, let's go. Like the reality is that Jesus, and trust me, I remember. And the reason why this text tells me that I'm going to pay the cost, because I remember I was there with some of you the moment, the morning, the afternoon, the evening that you said yes. And I was sitting there with you, and my joy could not be held in here, and I sang with all of the heavenly hosts, yeah. I was singing over you like, yes. As Jesus and all of the angels sang over you, throwing a party, is that we get invited to the best thing ever. God rejoicing over people that were once lost and found. And if you've forgotten that, maybe you need to go back to this from lyrics and say, I remember the morning that my heart said yes. And I remember the moment that God sang over me, and I felt the filling of my spirit of joy, that the shackles had come off. And I couldn't help but dance as Jesus is singing, yeah. That's why I died for you, I'm singing, yes. You get to party with Jesus. And the thing that I look back, when it says I have to pay the cost to see that, I will do it every time. I will pay with my resources, my effort, and time to be invited to the party, to the morning, to the afternoon, to the evening, when you said yes, and I will never forget it. I will never forget the morning you said yes. I will never forget when the shackles came off and I saw it in your eyes that you were free. It is why we do what we do. To see lives change, to be invited to the best thing ever. That cost that you think that you're the nine and you're okay without, you are not actually you're not bringing yourselves. You are the neighbor that says, no, I'm not going to come because of whatever's in my way. Jesus says, don't miss out on the opportunity to come and party with me as one that was lost was found because somebody did it with you. Somebody was there when you said yes, and their lives were rejoicing with Jesus and God and all of the angels as they sang, yeah. Church, disciples of Jesus, pay the cost that the opportunity that God invites you to seek what was lost so that it'll be found. And you'll be able to understand the greatest party that you have ever been to as you watch someone who has been transformed, who was lost, that is now found. And maybe you just need to remember that day yourself. Maybe you haven't experienced that day. Maybe you haven't experienced the day where you said yes that morning. There could be this morning where you say yes and that transformation happens, where all the chains fall off and you're the weight of the world and weight of your sin comes off and puts it on Jesus. And then Jesus sings over you and the people in the room sing over you, singing yeah. We are singing over you like yeah. Don't miss out on the best thing Jesus could invite you into. Don't miss out. Pay the cost, because the cost is nothing when you see the party that you're invited to. Let's pray. God, there might be somebody that's watching this morning and said, I've never felt that before. I've never felt it, and I want it. And they got to make the decision to say, Jesus, I'm going to say yes. It's going to be this morning, June 14th, Sunday, at 10:21 in the a.m. I'm going to say yes. and when I watch the shackles, the sin and the shame fall off of me when I say yes. It's not just a prayer. It is absolutely not just a prayer, God, that we just say to you. It's a decision to find and to follow you. And so, God, it starts with a prayer out of a decision to say yes. To say, God, I say yes. I say yes to you. I have so much sin and so much shame and so much anxiety. I want to trade this heaviness for a garment of praise. Beauty for the ashes within my very soul. I say yes. Jesus, because you died, you rose from the grave so that I could experience that life. Jesus, I choose you. And if that's you today, believe the truth in God's word that he is singing over you. He is singing over you. And maybe for some of you, you said yes, but you don't remember that day. You don't remember that morning. You don't remember what it was like. You haven't paid the cost in a long time. You just need to be reminded that we are invited. We're invited. We have been found. And now it's our job to take the opportunity to find what was lost. So God, come. Let us transform our heart to yours. Let us know there is nothing like you. It's all about you. God, we ask this in your name. Amen.